Be in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Tried to pray and seek the face of God for what He wanted for this service, this message this morning, this time that we can come together by means of radio and video and share the Word of God, and trust that the Lord will help us today and help you. And my heart's desire is to be an encouragement to you. First of all, this is for my people here at Gospel Way, but also others that'll tune in. Many are hungry in these days for the Word of God, and I'm very thankful for that and trust that the Lord will work in His way through all of this, and above everything, that His name will be glorified and magnified among us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you is in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Now, we read these verses this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I don't really want to deal with all the things that are going on here. Paul, in the closing of 1 Corinthians, has made it very clear that his desire was to be able to come again unto these at Corinth, this church here that he's already spent time with and dealt with in days gone by. And so he mentions to them in 1 Corinthians in the latter chapter that he would pass by or come by as he passed through Macedonia. Well, the Lord did not allow it. He said in these chapters that if the Lord will, he would come by. But the Lord did not. In verse number 7 of 1 Corinthians 16, he said, if the Lord permit. The Lord did not permit. But he ushered Paul on in to preach in another area. And so, many of the Corinthian believers got offended at Paul. They believed that maybe he would not, was a man that would not keep his word, was not dependable. And so, then many in the Corinthian church began to wonder, if Paul would not keep his word, then was this word, if Paul was not dependable, was this word which Paul preached to them dependable? And so Paul begins to defend not only his motives, but the ministry that God had given unto him. And above all of that, Paul began to tell them that this man, Christ Jesus, this Savior, this Lord that Paul had preached unto them, was dependable and always kept his word. And so he says, in verse number 20 that all the promises, all the Word of God, everything that is contained in these precious pages and in every message that Paul had preached to them as Corinthian believers, they were all yea and all amen. They could all be believed. They were all sure. They were all true. And so Paul begins after he makes it very clear that his message was true and that his ministry was true and that this man, Christ Jesus, was true. Then Paul begins to tell them that his motives were true, that they came by the direction of God. And so he said that he came not as yet to spare them unto Corinth. And this is what he said. This is where I'm interested this morning, that the Lord will help me for just a few minutes to preach. But in verse number 24, the closing of chapter 1, he said, "We are helpers of your joy." And I begin to think about that word, helper. That's been said many times. I've said it and heard others say it, that we want or we need helpers in the church. Now, the Bible's very clear many times, oftentimes in several places, to tell us that the Lord is our source of help. I thought about in Psalm 121 in verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, "I'll lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And so the Bible tells us over and over again, it says that the Lord is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. So the Lord, the Bible lets us know that the Lord is our source of help. Not only is He our source of help, but He is our helper. In the book of Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now that word helper in Hebrews 13 is not the same word that Paul uses for the word helper in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But matter of fact, that word in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6, where it says the Lord is our helper, we may say that the Lord is our helper. That's the only time that word helper is used in the Word of God. And so what I took of that, what the Lord began to speak into my heart, is that there's no one else that can help us like God can. There is no other helper like unto the Lord. What a source of help is He. What a very present help. I told the church not long ago, and many of you here in the church remember that the old black preacher S.M. Lockridge put that verse, "a very present help," in his own terminology. And he said, in any given instant, in any given time, in any situation, that our God's able to get to us quicker than right now. I sure am glad for that. I'm glad that wherever we are, whatever we're going through, that God is able to come to our rescue and help us just in time, every time. As I begin to think here, Paul is calling himself and those that had preached with him and those that shared this ministry with him. He said, "We are helpers of your joy." And so the Lord is our helper. First and foremost of all, and I don't want to take anything away from Him or do any disrespect to the Lord, but I do want to say He is the greatest helper that we will ever have and that we could ever need. But what is it then if the Lord is our helper and He's a special kind of helper that nobody else can be? Then what is it that Paul is saying about himself and others that they are helpers of your joy? That they are helpers in the ministry and to the people of God. Well, that word helper is seen many times in the Word of God, especially in Paul's letters to the churches. And it is the same word, just translated in different manners in the Scriptures. It's the word that we see Paul references several times about someone being a fellow helper or a fellow laborer or a companion in labor. So I began to think about that. And about, I thought in these days, and all the things that are going on as I was praying and seeking God, trying to find out what He wanted for this service this morning. And to be honest with you, was a little uneasy about the service and all these things. It's new to me. I've never done what I'm doing this morning, preaching in essence to an empty building. But it's all right. I got down this morning and began to pray, and I said, Lord, help me not to realize who's not here. But if you'd just pass by, would you let me know that you're here? And I believe He is this morning. And I hope that maybe it's a help in your heart and encouraging you. But I've thought about in these days and all the things that are going on, and they can't keep bread on the shelves or other things on the shelves, and they can't keep milk in the cooler. And all the time I'm seeing a place of business putting out signs, and the signs say, help wanted. And so this morning, if the Lord would help me for just a few minutes, I want to preach on that thought, help wanted. I believe we're living in a day in the church of God that help is wanted, and more than just wanted. When they put them signs out in front of a business that say help wanted, what they're really saying is we need somebody to help us. And so I want to say in the church house, many of us ought to make some banners, maybe not physically, but we ought to let it be known that we need some help, that we need some fellow helpers, some helpers in the work of God, some companions in labor. I began to think about that. That's one term or one phrase that Paul used, a companion in labor. We need some companions in labor. It carries with it the sense of cooperation. It carries with it the sense of unity among the believers of God. And so I want to say, if there's ever a thing and a time that we need unity in the church, it's in this day and this hour that we're living in. And so I begin to think about helpers and where it is, what places within the church that help is wanted and help is needed. I want to say, first of all, that help is wanted and help is needed in the work. As I thought about these verses, or this verse that Paul talked about being a helper, and I began to think about the other terms and phrases that Paul had used about a fellow laborer or a companion in labor, then it goes without saying that there's help needed in the work. This work that we're in, this labor that we're in, I thought about. So I began to think about helping the labor. The first thing that came to my mind was in old Nehemiah's account about where they find out Nehemiah does. We all know the story about how that the walls are broken down, the gates are burned with fire. It gets on Nehemiah's heart by a burden from the Lord to go back to Jerusalem and to build again the walls that are broken down. And so he gathers all the remnant that are left of the captivity, and he charges them to do this great work that lies before them. And then you begin to read how that he gives each one a portion to begin to build, and they begin to labor together in their own area, in their own place, in their own section. They don't
bicker and argue about what part they have and what part another has. They just take their part and do the work in the labor that needs to be done. Would to God in our day that many of us would just do our part in the labor. Do our section work in our place where God has put us. I began to think last night and began to read. It says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4 that we are many members in one body and all members have not the same office. That means we all, in essence, if I could apply it to the story of Nehemiah, that we all have our place, we all have our portion, and we ought to work together to help one another in the labor, in the work that is set before us. Could we not say, as Nehemiah did in his day, that it's a worthy effort, that it's a worthy cause, that it's a needful time and a needful work to rebuild again? But Nehemiah came to Jerusalem and he began to remember how it used to be. And I'm not trying to get off on, I'm trying to live in yesterday. But I'm telling you what, the church, we have slipped in what we used to possess. And we need to build the wall again that the glory might be established again among the people of God. Paul mentions it to this same church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said the body is not one member, but many members. And he said God has set every member in the body as it seemed good for him to place it. And so we ought to take heart and be encouraged to know, it ought to strengthen us to know that God put us exactly where we are. If you're out there this morning, it doesn't matter. If you're a member of Gospel Way or a member of some other church, God's put you where you are for a reason, to do a work. And you ought to do the work and be a helper if God will let you be one. So we need some helpers in the work. Help wanted in the work of God. Then I want to say, and I just have a few thoughts this morning that God put on my heart. I want to say we need some helpers in the war. We're not just in a work. We've not just been committed to a work, but we've been enlisted in an army. And we've been put in the battle. And we are in a war today. We ought to be able to see. I'm not going to try to get on a bunch of negative stuff. I'm not going to try to get all I understand. There's a whole lot of preaching about the last days. In these days, and it very well could be that we are in the last days. Only God knows about when He's coming. But I believe we ought to live as if He is coming and we're in a war. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 was written about the armor. We ought to have on the whole armor of God because there's a battle. There's a war that we're in. There always has been a war. The church has been in a war and in a battle since she was started, and she's still in a war today. And that many preachers have preached, some from days gone by, some from present days, about the old devil as a lion, and he's come out of his thicket, and he's a roaring and a working against the church, and we're in a war in this day. So we ought to have some unity. If you read in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 14, it gives a record of a miraculous war that takes place among the garrison of the Philistines. And it takes place by Jonathan and his armor bearer alone. By the help of God, they go in and they begin to smite. And their first smiting, they smite 20 men of the Philistines by themselves. And that's wonderful, miraculous, amazing what God can do. But I'm going to tell you, we back up and read why it is that God could do those things. Is that there were unity between Jonathan and his armor bearer. If you go and turn and read in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verses 6 and 7. Jonathan is speaking to his armor bearer, and his armor bearer says back to him, now put yourself in the armor bearer's shoes. He knows it's just Jonathan and him. I don't know what kind of skilled warrior that the armor bearer was. No doubt Jonathan was a skilled warrior. But they get ready to go into the Philistine camp, an enemy of Israel that's whooped them many times and presented great and terrible enemies. And yet God has spoke to Jonathan. Jonathan's going to go in. And the armor bearer says, whatever you need to do, I'm going to go with you. He said in 1 Samuel 14 and 7, I am with thee according to thy heart. In other words, he said, whatever's in your heart, whatever leadership God's given you, just go ahead and go and know that I am with you. Boy, it'd be good in our churches today. Here we are right here at Gospel Way Baptist Church. There may not be many of us, but I sure am glad for what God has given us in these days. I'm glad for the spirit of unity. I'm glad for the spirit of cooperation. I know there have been some hard days. I know there have been some hard times. But I'm glad for what God's given us. It's still good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I believe there's only great things to come over a church that'll dwell together, work together, and war together in unity. We can all come together in one mind and one accord. Then I want to say there's need for help. There's help wanted, not just in the work, not just in the war, but for those that are weary. I mean, because there is a work, and because there is a war, then it's an evident fact that some are going to get weary along the way. I thought about what Paul said. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, if there wasn't the possibility of getting weary, then why would Paul have been instructed by the Holy Ghost to write that verse? It is because there is a tendency to get weary in the work and in the war. I thought about old Moses there in Exodus chapter 17, I believe it is, when they're fighting there in Rephidim with Amalek. Moses commissions Joshua to take the armies of Israel and fight. He said, I'll go and stand on top of the mountain with the rod of God in my hand. The Bible said that as Moses held his hands up, that as long as he did that, the children of Israel prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. He got weary. They began to come down. The Bible said that as his hands came down, that Amalek began to prevail. But thank God. Now, Moses is the man that's well known. Everybody knows about Moses. And some know about Aaron. He's not as well known or preached on or looked at as Moses, but he's still pretty well known in the Word of God. But what about this man by the name of Hur? We don't know much about him. We know his name means light bearer or bearer of light. And so this pretty much unknown man, but all we know is his name and very little about him. But yet it doesn't matter to him who knows him, who doesn't know him. All he knows is the man of God is weary and tired. And if he don't get his hands up, the battle will be lost. So the Bible said they went up to Moses on top of the mountain. They set Moses down on a rock. And Aaron stayed up, Moses' hands on one side and Hur on the other, until the going down of the sun and the children of Israel prevailed. I was reading that story and I've read it countless times, preached on it bunches of times. And I thought last night the Lord began to speak to my heart. And He said, the result of the battle, the outcome. Now I understand that the church is going to win the war. I mean, we've already won. Christ has already won our victory for us. But there are battles, small battles that we encounter. And many times the result of the battle may be because of the helpers. Just as it was in that day. I'm going to say, if you're out there, and I know that there's more than just our church that's going to be tuning in and listening. I understand that. And I want to say to those of you who are out there listening, that if you have a good man of God that's trying his best to lead you and guide you in the way you ought to go, and he's doing his best to preach to you the right word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost, you ought to do your best to hold his hands up. There are days he's going to get weary. Days he's going to want to throw in the towel. Days the battle is going to seem like it's going to overtake him. You ought to hold his hands up as long as necessary. So we need hands to be held up. We need help for those that are weary. It's not just the man of God that gets weary. Others in the church get weary. You don't have to have an office or a title or a position in the church to justify you getting weary. Everybody gets weary, from the preacher, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, to the church members. Everybody somewhere along the line gets weary. And I believe that's why Paul said we ought to bear one another's burdens. Help with the load. That does not mean, if you study that and look at that, the language there, it does not mean that you carry it all for them, but that you pick up a part or a portion of the burden and carry it in unison together. The language is a joint yoke, is what it suggests, and that you get in the harness with them and help them pull their load. That's a helper in the weariness of life. That's help that's needed and wanted in our day. I thought many things could be said, and I'm about done this morning. I thought we could say that help's needed and wanted in worship. We need help in worship. I thought about the first church, that they came together, they met in one mind and one accord to worship together. That's what we need, to meet in one mind and one accord and to worship together. I thought about that old hymn. I looked it up some last night and was just reading over it, reading some of the history behind it. That old hymn, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship." As I began to read about it, it said that it's one of the oldest known hymns that we have. And if you begin to read that together and read those verses, every one of them gives the idea that it takes the brethren coming together. It takes help to worship God together. Words like aid us, help us, join us. Well, to come into the house of God, I'm not talking about stirring something up or making something happen, but if the Spirit of God permits us to worship, we ought to join hands in together and worship together. Helpers in worship. And then lastly, and I'm done this morning, maybe it's helped you, maybe you've got some encouragement out of it. I want to say we need helpers in the war and helpers in the work and helpers for the weary, helpers in worship. But I want to say we're desperate for helpers in what matters most. And that is the salvation of men and women, boys and girls. Now, I'm not talking this morning that the Lord needs our help. He don't need any help saving anybody. Salvation is not between the sinner and the preacher. It's not between the sinner and the church. It's not some prayer you pray. It's not some road you're led down. It is a work, a supernatural work between the sinner and the Savior.
Sometimes there's a burden that needs to be carried. Sometimes there's prayers that need to be prayed.
Sometimes there's some labor that needs to happen around that that matters most. May I say that is the main business of the church. The Bible said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
And if that was His main business, then that's our main business.
Not to save them, but to carry the gospel. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. It's not in ordinances. It's not in routine. But He said He sent me to preach the gospel.
That's the main business of the church. Now I thought about a couple situations in the Word of God. I thought about that story there. I think it's in Mark chapter 2. About that man that was sick of the palsy. How that he couldn't get to where Jesus was. But there were four men who carried their corner. They didn't argue which corner they carried. They didn't argue who was in the front and in the back. They didn't make any difference about it. All they knew is their friend needed to get to Jesus, and they helped to get Him there.
Think back over my life growing up about the people that prayed for me and called my name to God. Thank God for some helpers in what matters most. I thought about over there. And if you say, well, that don't it don't matter about what we do. It don't matter about those men. The Bible said when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man that was sick, but the faith of the men that had enough faith to know that if they could just get Him to the Lord, He could help him.
When Jesus saw their faith, He saith to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. I thought about in the book of Acts, and I'm done this morning, about that dream that Paul had, about that man of Macedonia, him saying, come and help us. Come help us. And the Bible said that Paul esteemed, or Paul was of the opinion, or Paul was persuaded that because of that dream that they needed the gospel preached to them. We need some help in what matters most. I understand there can be no gospel preaching. I understand people say gospel's good news. And it is, but it's more than that. I understand they say it's a death, burial, and the resurrection. It is, but it's more than that. In order to have the gospel, we must have the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost.
I understand that help comes from God. I'm going to tell you what, there's some men standing in pulpits and in parking lots and wherever they can assemble this morning in front of television screens and computer monitors and telephones trying their best to get the gospel out because it's in them to preach the gospel, and they need some men and women to pray for them and carry their corner and carry a burden for the man of God, and not just for the man of God but for the message that will go out.
And who knows who will hear it? Some sinner may hear the message. God, the Holy Ghost, may convict them, prick their heart, plant the seed of the Word of God and allow it to germinate and come up and bring forth fruit under repentance. I want to say in these days, the church, there ought to be a banner outside saying help wanted.
I'm not talking about eliciting the help from the world. We don't need plans. We don't need programs. We don't need frills and thrills and games and gimmicks. That's not what I'm talking about. But we need some men and some women that belong to the church to come in to their respective places when we can't assemble together. And while we can't, to have them to pray and seek God and do their part to be a helper in the work of God.
I want to do my part as a preacher, as a pastor, to be a helper in the work of God. God help us in these days to want to be a helper. I don't want to be a hinderer.
I don't want to stand in the way. I don't want to cause any problems. I want to be a helper. How about you? I pray this morning that God would take this message, as feeble as it may be, and make it find its lodging in your heart. Find some good ground to fall on, that it might bring forth fruit, and the fruit be a helper in the house of God. God bless you this morning.